Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And this satsang, this radio program, is being recorded for Sunday, September 25th, 2016. And we're going to be looking at an interesting subject, flaws. And we'll talk about what that means. I want to remind you that this radio program, along with the TV programs that you might be watching on the website at aspire.org, are all here via the generosity and the loving support of my sponsors. Without their support, without their loving kindness, you and I would not be together right now. And we have some wonderful new programs, I got to tell you, TV programs that are going to be coming up here in October. We're going to show two per month for a while. These are out of the vault. And they're very, very interesting programs that I did way back in 1988. And they are about the Zen of it all. They're on various subjects. They were shot and in a beautiful atmosphere at Yai Restaurant in Rancho Bernardo many, many years ago. I think you'll find them very interesting. I had a very small group of people there that were invited to come and listen and watch, and we filmed them as well. I have a beautiful Kyokoto player. It's a little bit of magic, and I hope that you enjoy these programs. So anyway, all of this is made possible via your kind contributions. And if you're enjoying the radio program or the TV programs on the website at aspire.org, please remember, they are there because people gave. They gave of their heart, their soul, their donations. They gave to serve humankind. And I hope that you will see the value of it and join them. Because everything in this world, no matter what I do, no matter what you do, it costs money. We have to pay for airtime, and it is only through your gifts that this happens. Become a sponsor. Go to the website at aspire.org, and you will see sponsorship in support, and you can become a sponsor, find out all the information. You get some lovely gifts, and you will know that you have helped many, many, many people at the same time. Let's look at the word flaw, a mark, fault, or other imperfection that mars a substance or object, according to Webster's. A fault or a weakness in a person's character, a mistake or shortcoming in a plain theory or legal document that causes it to fail or reduce its effectiveness. We all have flaws. A fault or a weakness in a person's character. Flaws. Well, over the years, I have collected all sorts of questions about Aspire, me, yada, yada, yada. And these questions are about flaws. And I thought, gee, I haven't covered that in a long, long time. And so I thought it would be wonderful, fun, and interesting to do so today. And here we are. So we have the first question from Jet, J-E-T. He does not tell me where he lives. Do you live flawlessly, Greg? How do you live with your own weaknesses? Jet. I have many flaws. When I went to India for the first time and I sat with my master, I found that he had flaws too. I am sure that Buddha had flaws and Jesus had flaws. I am sure that Lao Tzu had them as well. Everybody has flaws who has a human body. I am not ashamed of my flaws. I am not, shall we say, I don't do the pride thing about them either. I don't do anything about them except watch them. Yes, I have my flaws. I have my human tendencies. Of course I do. Everybody does. Everybody will. We're not here to perfect the human, Jet. This is not what it's all about. I will never be able to keep up with all of the monkey business that Greg can bestow upon me in the course of a day, even a day, even an hour of my life. I couldn't keep up with it. He is constantly in monkey mind, wanting to do monkey mind. He constantly has these little silly things he wants to throw in front of me, but I don't get involved in two things, and maybe this will help you. First of all, I want you to understand, I do live under the auspice of you don't have to be perfect to be loved. I work on that constantly. No one in my life has to be perfect to be loved. Now, you have to understand, this is how I deal with it. I look at people, I understand they have their human flaws. I understand that they have weaknesses in their quote-unquote character, which I don't even know what that means. I mean, if you look up the word character, it means mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. Quality of being an individual, typically in a interesting or unusual way, according to the dictionary. I don't even know what that means. I really don't know. I mean, I could conjure up an idea of it, but what good would that do? No, I don't see it that way at all. I don't live in it that way. I'm not here to make Gregory perfect. The two things I do is, first of all, I don't live in shame about the flaws that Greg has. I don't sit there and go, I'm a terrible person. I don't judge myself or other people by their character flaws. I truly don't. I understand how those flaws get in the way of their life, of their practice. And I work on it and I work on it and I work on it with students. Now, there are some flaws that people have that are just killer. They're deal closers in their personality. Such things as pride, vanity, arrogance, wanting to be special, entitlement for the women. Those kind of things, they're more than flaws. Those are categories of psychological issues that people have based on emotionality and how they deal with their emotions. So I understand all that, and I'm on it with my students and helping them. But their character flaws, you know, that are about, you know, little things that would lead them astray and all of that, I don't really care. Some people are picky about this and picky about that, and others like this and others don't like that. People go on and on and on doing these silly things, and I don't really get too enamored with that in myself. Yes, Jet, you asked me, do you live flawlessly? Absolutely not. I make mistakes. I'm a klutz. I make mistakes all day long. I'll break this, I'll break that, I'll fix this, then I'll go over there and find out in my fixing I broke that. Sometimes I will forget. I get focused on something and I forget to do this over that. I have all sorts of little character flaws. My humor, it's a big character flaw. I rarely find anything that I can't laugh at. It's just a part of my nature as a human being. But I don't identify these things as me. I look at things that Greg purports to me and proposes to me as though he is someone else and not me. I look at him as though he is, in third person looking at him, simply himself. I live with him. Sometimes he's a good neighbor and sometimes he's a bad neighbor. And whatever it is that he is as a neighbor, I observe, I watch, I understand. And that's as far as it goes. I don't try to correct him, and I don't try to perfect him. And when I find character flaws in other people, which is really easy to do, I simply treat them as I treat my own. That's not who they truly are. That's not what they're all about. Not all. A lot of it is, but not all of it. And I speak to the better part of everyone that I can when I'm not teaching. Now, when I'm teaching and I'm trying to help someone, I'm on it, especially if their life depends on it or if their health depends on it or something is really important that's going on. Then I'm on it like white on rice, okay? But I don't measure the person by that. We've all done stupid things. I've done stupid things. Everybody's done stupid things. I don't look at them and say to myself, well, blah, blah, blah does this and blah, blah, blah does that. And therefore, they are, you know, hopeless. I continue to remain patient and pound away until they get the flaw, until they understand the nature of the flaw. And then hopefully they drop it. So I treat others as I treat myself. Little golden rule, Jet. I treat others as I treat myself. Do unto others as I do unto me. So I don't make a big deal out of it. I watch it in myself. And I know that other people don't watch it in themselves and don't care about whether or not they get it or not. I just don't care about, you know, whether or not they're in their practice or if they're not a person I know and they do something stupid, which we've all done, you just look at it and go, that's human nature. And we're getting stupider and stupider, I notice, as time goes on, as the population grows. It seems that we are getting stupider. But no matter what and what the matter, it doesn't matter to me. The only thing that matters is love. I hope that helps you, Jet. Really, I do. From a flawed person to you, please forgive me. Namaste. I love this subject. I do. It's wonderful. Next one comes from John, and he says he lives in the great Northeast. Okay? We all have flaws, Greg. I'm sure you do as well. My question to you is, how do you perfect the self? So there are no flaws, John. John. Never going to happen. People go to church and people read books and people try to polish turds. That's exactly what they're doing. And I don't bother with that. I'm not here to help you polish yours. I'm not here to tell you how to polish yours. I am interested in only one thing, bringing out the love that lives in the person that you are, to help you realize, oh, there's that. Oh, it is that. Ah, oh, all is that. That's what I'm interested in. I don't care how many flaws you have. I don't care that, you know, you like to eat pastries, you know, while sitting on the toilet. I don't care. I literally don't care. I care about your health, obviously, and I care about your well-being, but your flaws are nothing I can help you with. We are not here to perfect the human. It can't be perfected. You can try. You can say to yourself, I can fix this, and you can. You can fix certain things, but it will always be, if you are fixing and fixing and fixing, it'll always be a white knuckle thing. You can only hold back the horses so long, so far, and then they break free out of the barn and they just want to go wild and crazy. I don't think that's healthy. I've never been an advocate of that, and I don't think it has anything to do with the meaning of our life. So here we are, dear one. It isn't about being perfect to be loved. And I would wonder if that were your motive. Do you wish to be perfect in order to be loved? Why would you want to be perfect? What is perfect? I don't even know what you're talking about. What is a perfect person? They say the right thing at always the right moment. They're always appropriate to whatever situation they're in. They never make a mistake. They are their moral qualities are distinct and they're better than others. And who is to define morality? Who is to define any of it? Who is to define any of these things? Who? See, I don't have that kind of genre in me. I don't even waste time in that kind of thing. It is the awakening of consciousness that I am interested in, not whether or not your behavior is conducive to a situation that makes you appropriate or makes you seem powerful or makes you seem better than others. I am not interested in any of that. If you attain to consciousness, you have attained to the meaning of your life. And then everything that you think, say, and do will be in proportion to love. And that is what I'm interested in. Perfect people, I am not interested in. So, John, you asked me. We all have flaws. I'm sure you do as well. My question is how to perfect myself, how to do it. You join the masses when you do that, the collective unconscious. Many people want to, you know, make themselves perfect. They want to be desirable. And they'll go to the gym and work out, or they'll go get their hair done, or they'll study books and things on all sorts of different subjects to make their character different or stick out. They have all sorts of ways of dealing with how they dress, how they don't dress. It just goes on and on and on. It's insanity. How do you perfect the human, which by nature is flawed in the first place? How do you perfect that? There is no possible way to do so. Now, you can try as you want. Maybe your parents tried, your friends tried, you've tried. You can do what you want. Try again. You can come up with this thing, this artificial thing that makes you appear to be spiritual or makes you appear to be smart or makes you appear to be in the know or whatever. You won't be able to hold your water for long because eventually you're going to fall to a flaw. Some character quality, something that is a human trait, a genetic flaw, as I like to call them, a shortcoming. And you're going to look at it and realize, my God, you know, no matter how hard I try, then I stick my finger in this hole in the dike and then that hole in the dike. Now I have no more fingers. And this is going to go on and on and on and on in your life. Tenacium. And as long as you go on trying to perfect that which cannot be perfected, you're going to find in your life that you are miserable because in the end, you may think you're perfect or you may think you've achieved perfection or you may think that because everyone likes you or admires you that you've done well. You're going to know deep inside you haven't. Nothing's changed. You still live with a bunch of people who are imperfect, and you're no better than them. You could fall at any moment. La, 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 la. And that's the point of it all. We miss everything that is deeply significant and important in our life because we're trying to make ourselves something we are not. So I say to you, John, with all my heart, don't try to perfect yourself. Really don't. It's a useless venture. Learn how to meditate. Learn how to sit and want nothing with all of your heart. Learn to be kind in ways than which are unusual, that fit the situation, that help other people. Learn about kindness, compassion, forgiveness. Those three things. You do those three. And it will shape and change the way you live within yourself, the way you sit in the posture of your inner self. It will help you immensely. Your ego won't like it. Your vanity won't like it. When you're trying to perfect the self, the ego gets involved and then that gets going and it starts telling you this and starts telling you that. And pretty soon you're just full of opinions about everything that has nothing to do with the meaning of yourself upon the face of this beautiful lifetime. And you just miss the whole thing. Let love live you. That's my little thing. I say that to myself many times during the day. Greg, let go. Let go. I let go of him. He lets go, I let go. Sometimes I let go before he can let go. And that causes him a great deal of, he gets concerned. He doesn't know where I am. He wants the attention thing. And he wants it quickly, and he wants it now. And he lives via attention. It's really, really interesting, this whole thing. So, listen to me, John. Want nothing with all of your heart. You'll be right on right track, the track of awakening. Seek awakening. Practice meditation. Live in loving kindness. Forgive quickly. Oh. And the flaws? Well, they may be there, they may not. Just don't engage in them. And if you do, forgive yourself quickly. That's all you need to do. Forgive quickly. And go back. Back to consciousness, back to love, back to forgiveness, over and over and over again. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question. If God is perfect, why aren't we? I mean, we are the image and likeness of God. Why aren't we perfect as well? Kay lives in Long Beach, and she emails me from time to time. She's a very interesting person. Kay, I have covered this so many times in my career, in my life, about this whole thing of God being perfect. We need a perfect God. We've made God perfect. P.D. Ouspensky, George Gurdjieff, these were very interesting men in their day. And one of the things that Gurdjieff said that he was having dialogue with Ouspensky about in the Fourth Way is something that I think is really, really interesting. He said, even God is an evolution. I find that to be so revolutionary because we want to answer to something. We look at this chaos here on earth, this insanity, and our minds naturally wander to the idea, who made this? What the hell is going on here? And then, you know, we create this idea of God, that God is perfect, that God doesn't need to be perfected. He already is, and he created this in his infinite wisdom. Well, then, if that's true, then we know the flaws of God, because look at this mess. It is absolutely stupid what we go through and what we put ourselves through. So the idea here that you have, Kay, is that God is perfect. You say, if God is perfect, well, I'm not so sure God is. See, I don't look at God like you might be looking at God. If you're looking at God as a man, a power, a presence, a being that is in charge here, knows exactly what's going on and all of that other stuff, like people interpret and make up in their minds, well, then he's got a lot of flaws too. I mean, look at it. Creates the earth, turns into Sodom and Gomorrah. He gets pissed off, and he kills everybody except Noah and his wife and a few animals. Teaches him how to build a boat, and he go floating around, and everybody's drowning, and it's agony. This is a God of agony. First of all, his creations suck. They just suck. I mean, he creates man. That's all we ever needed was men's club, you know. And then man gets lonely because he has man disease, and I'm lonely. So God created loneliness in a man, flawed personality. What a weeper. What a crazy. And so God haphazardly puts together something out of Adam, takes a rib out and makes woman. God's second little idea. Ladies, why aren't you protesting this in the church? You're just God's second little idea. A lot of women like that, though, because then the man takes over. Blah, 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 blah. All of this craziness you're asking me about, Kay, don't get caught up in it. Don't be comparing this to that. It's dualistic thinking. It makes you crazy. Don't do that. Don't try to conquer yourself through your mind and through your personality. Start to look at yourself from another point of view. You are here. Don't perfect you. Just be here. I'm out of here myself. I got to get out of here. Thank you, Kay, for your beautiful question. Thank you for listening. I'll be back on the air next week. I hope you enjoyed the radio program. I hope you enjoyed the subject as much as I did. Have a wonderful weekend. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.